Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, we're back with Victor Perez. Victor was the general manager here in Puerto Rico, Storage Technology, and we just covered how he left the Puerto Rico operation for Europe, and that was a process you chose to lose. In terms of negotiating with the different countries, and I remember, I still remember you telling me Ireland, how they would come to Colorado to try to convince you, and how frustrating it is with Puerto Rico, where you have to, you know, go on your knees to get meetings.
That's
and
right.
They would, but anyway, but in Toulouse, in terms of negotiating at the end, you know, anything really special happen, or any moments of obstruction or anything that you recall?
Well, I think there were two important things that I have to mention, that because, you know, you mentioned, you know, how the agencies of the government, like, for example, Ireland was well prepared, better in my opinion than Fomento in Puerto Rico. You know, they make the doing of business pretty easy. They give you everything you need. They work with you in a way that you cannot imagine. In the case of France, that was a little bit different, because you have the people from different parties, and everybody have their own agenda. You know, you have the city of Toulouse, you have the region of Toulouse, you have the federal government of France, etc., etc., and all of them are from different political parties. What I was surprised that they were so hungry for this project that we were able to draft a deal in a weekend. You know,
weekend.
I remember, you know, and with all the people, you know. They wanted Storage Tech. They wanted Storage Tech in Toulouse, and we're going to make this happen.
Right.
And, you know, and everybody had to give concession to the other party, but that's how we were able. And of course, I took advantage of that because that was they really want us there. So one of the things that happened after that, after I made the deal, was we went back to the site, and beside where I had decided where I was going to put the facility was a golf course. But between the golf course and the facility was a big river. So I said to them, well, I need that my customer are able to go from the plant to the river.
To the golf course.
So I requested, as part of the deal, that they build a bridge between the, you know, and that was really, you know, they really all excited. Oh, you cannot do this. And I said, well, you know, either you want the project or you don't want the project. You know, this place has to be first class, and I want to take advantage of the golf course. So to make a long story short, at the end they give up. They built a bridge, which today you go to Toulouse and it's called my name, Victor Perez Bridge.
that's a great story. So I think you also said that Toulouse, one of the reasons you liked Toulouse was a very...
Oh yes, the reason I selected Toulouse was basically for three reasons. The first one, it was an international city. 35% because of Airbus, you know, 35% of the population in Toulouse was international. European international, I mean, you have people from Spain, people from the UK, people from Germany. So it was a very, very international city, you know, because that was one of the concerns about, you know, about the French. Some people thought that the French are French. Well, you know, in Toulouse, you know, you could see that France was there, but also there was a European, like
Brussels is.
That's right. The second thing was the universities. They had pretty good engineer universities, especially in software. That was what we were... that we wanted to develop there. And the third was the incentive package. So those were the three reasons
right.
why I went to Toulouse.
So then you move back, this choice is made, and you move back to Colorado, mm-hmm. Louisville, outside of Denver, mm-hmm. and then you progress at the end you were chief executive of operations.
No, I was executive VP.
So you were number two in the
That's
company.
Right.
And charge of all operations, both sales and manufacturing
right.
worldwide. But in that growth through those different titles, because that wasn't given to you immediately, mm-hmm. that you earned as you went through. What was a critical moment in that growth pattern where you look back and you say, because of, you know, this was a challenge I had and I was able to overcome, I was able to surpass it, and that was critical.
That's right. I think that was back in 1996. You know, at that time, our biggest competitor was IBM. Even though we were bigger than them on tape, in everything else, they were bigger than us.
That's an understatement.
So, but they needed a product that we had. So I went and did an agreement with them, and it was an agreement where they will take our product and they will market and sell the product. However, because you know, it was the two leader competitors, you know, we went through a lot of Department of Justice review and so on, and
each wanted to protect their technology, I imagine.
That was pretty easy to solve.
That was easy.
The biggest challenge was, you know, at that time, antitrust and IBM had just come out of of a big antitrust case. You know, was, you know, here you have these two companies.
They had 90% of
that's
the market.
That's right. So that was interesting. That was an agreement that was very profitable to us. And it was about, we did in about $1.5 billion in revenue in about 2.5 years. And that contract was very famous because it was the first example of what we call co-opetition, where in part of the business, in tape, we were enemies, IBM and us. And on the disc, we were partners. So, you know, that was a very educational type of transaction where you can say, you know, in this part of the business, we're going to fight like dog and cat. In this other, you know, we are husband and wife.
The pharmaceuticals have done that later on, but this was pretty pioneering when you started. I remember you talking and telling me about that.
So that was what they call co-opetition.
You became a hero with
that. That's right.
Within,
that became a hero and make a lot of money, and also, you know, gave me a name in the industry. And because it was very hard to do, you know, in terms of not only, you know, we were a small company in comparison to IBM. IBM at that time was $100 billion, and we were only $2 billion. But also the fact that we could compete in a segment of the business and be partners in the other business. I remember that the Department of Justice, you know, we spent a lot of time, and you know, because they were concerned. And the contract have a special provision, what is called the Victor Perez 1 megabyte rule. And basically, you know, for Department of Justice,
we have traveled out over the bridge in Toulouse.
The problem was that basically we have an exclusive agreement with IBM. But IBM was paying us, you know, a lot of, about $50 million in development, plus also all the revenue. But the Department of Justice say, this is not an OEM agreement. This is an exclusive agreement. So what we did, of course, I have to give a lot of credit to the IBM lawyers. We came what we call with the 1 megabyte rule, which basically said that I could sell my product to anyone besides IBM, but I will lose all the research and development. Well, we were talking about $50 million a year, you know. So the dispute with the Department of Energy was they say, Department of Justice was, you, in fact, have exclusivity because you are not going to sell to someone else because you're going to lose $50 million. And the legal point was, but I have the option. And at the end, we prevailed, and that's how we did that.
So then you end up leaving storage in 2000, was it?
In 2000, at the...
Now, what caused the departure from storage?
Well, at that time, you know, we have a disagreement in terms of the strategic direction of the company. You know, one of the historical problems with Storage Tech is that we were having a hard time deciding what not to do. We always have a lot of ideas, and our biggest weakness is we want to pursue all the ideas. And in business, that doesn't work. You have to select one or two and forget about the other. So at that time we had 5 business. I wanted to reduce it to 2, and my boss wanted to expand it to 7. So it was a big gap.
Big difference of opinion.
Strategically. Yeah. And we decided that it was time for break and we do different things.
And that's not the kind of thing you bring to a board.
No.
And because it's too business oriented, and it's just too messy.
Yeah,
so.
I feel sad because this guy was the guy who promoted me. He was the guy who took me from Puerto Rico to where I was, you know.
So
who was the guy?
You just said that we have to agree to disagree.
Exactly.
In the negotiating world, you just have to say, I respect your position. Mm-hmm. You may be right. I have to, my principles say, and my guts say, and my everything says, and we just have to agree to disagree, and let's part ways friends.
That's right. I felt that would be good after 23 years to do something else.
Okay, and what did you do?
Okay, that's an interesting one. I mean, the founder of Storage Tech, who left some time ago, had venture capital investor, and he had at that time was in year 2000 when it was the dot-com era, and you know there were companies, zillions of companies, because trying to take advantage of the dot-com. So he has a startup where he was the mayor founder, and he asked me to go there as a board member. You know, at that time, I was financially, I could afford to do that, so I want to become, a board member. So I went to, he asked me to go into this company and see what was the company and to see, what he should do. Well, I went to this company.
He had invested how much in that company?
At that time, he had invested about $6 million.
$6 million, okay.
And total investment in that company at that time was $30 million.
And that was that company was Chaparral.
Chaparral Network, out of Colorado.
Out of Colorado.
So I went there and did an analysis, and basically the company has three problems. They have the wrong strategy, they had the wrong management, and then they didn't have any cash. Besides that, everything else was
that was
fine.
A good shape. so you go back to your good friend back from Jesse Aweida. You go, Jesse, we got three problems.
We have the problem. I can solve two. You can solve the other. This is a multimillionaire guy. So I said, I can solve the strategy and I can solve the management. I cannot solve the funding.
Right.
And he put part of the funding. At that time we raised another $12 million. He put three, and then the other nine came from the outside, and was very successful. In 18 months we were able to sell the company for about, build a product and sell the company for about $74 million.
So, and it was, what do you think it was worth when you, they had put about $30 million?
Zero.
It was worth zero when you jumped in.
The strategy, they didn't have sales, the strategy was wrong, and they have 120 people, for someone that was not selling nothing. I will say this, that was a tough job, because, it's not the same when you go to a big company and you run a company and you expand the company to, you go to a company where there's nothing there, and you have to creation. Creation is different than delivery.
Right. So that was about 3 years. That was fun, though. Huh?
Oh, that was fun.
that was fun.
But let me tell you, and I used to make like 10% of what I used to make at Storage, because in startup the whole thing is equity. If you make the company profitable, that's where you make your money. And you
took a big cut in compensation,
compensation,
and then you took
an ownership,
an incentive percent. Ownership to the extent that
that's
you
right.
were, but it worked out well. Though.
Well, fantastic.
Okay, so you did that company is sold, and then you move. What's the next step?
Okay, so the next step, I was living in Colorado, having a great time, and I got a call from one of the local VCs who has an investment in Silicon Valley, in California. So he called me and he said, hey, we have a company that basically has two problems. They have a disruptive technology with a very high performance product, but the product is not mature. And second, we know we can sell this product to five people. We don't know if we can sell this product to thousands of customers, So I went there to talk to them, and I was not sure. The reason why I went there was because the founder was a very well-known person. He's Professor Garth Gibson out of Carnegie Mellon, and he was the inventor of Ray. So I was talking to a top technology guy, plus the second thing was the investor. The investor was the top tier one investor in California, which include Carlyle Group, More Davida, Intel, and others, and Evercore. So, you know, these are the top, what we call the big dogs on the VC world. So the company, they have already invested $100 million. So this company was highly, highly technical. But they say it's in California, and well, California is not cheap, and so on. So, but finally, you know, I got convinced, and I went to live in California and got into the Silicon Valley ecosystem. And let me tell you, there's a lot to be learned, and I think Puerto Rico should look at that model, because we can do a mini Silicon Valley if we put all these things together.
We're talking about, you know, your decision of complaining about how expensive San Francisco. And I remember because we used to go skiing during all those times, once a year, once every 2 years, and we kept on this relationship throughout these years. But I remember you talking about getting a house about 20% the size for about four times the cost.
That's correct.
But yeah, there was a story when you were complaining about making this move and what it was going to cost you to get the house and talking to one of these venture capitalists that was you know, very interested in you taking over. What was that story?
We had because you have the individual VCs and then you have the company. So one of the VCs was represented the company that was negotiating with me, and you know, they offered me, I remember it was about $300,000, and I basically said, you know,
For moving expenses.
For the house.
Oh, for the house.
The down payment for the house.
The house payment, okay.
Yes. Okay, and I wanted $550,000, and you know, we were far apart, and the guy got upset with me, and he put his checkbook and gave me a personal check for $250,000. He said, here's the difference. Now let's get moved.
Let's get moving. For God's sake.
So I mean,
this gives the listener an idea of how tough a negotiator Victor Perez is for $250,000. Yeah. I mean, you know, you fight for every little thing. But whether it's a bridge across the river in Toulouse or the last $250,000 to make up part of the difference of the new residents in San Francisco.
And you know, these people are. As I said before, they are the big dogs. You know, they have funds that are, you know, in the billions of dollars. For them, $250,000. But this guy, personal check of $250,000, I was very impressed. I couldn't refuse that. So that's how I ended in California.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to take a break. We've got a couple of more moves here.